Blog Talk Radio.
Monthly payment calculation assumes 5% down at 7% APR over 30 years.
You know what happens to a beautiful four-bedroom, two-story house when the owners default on their loan? Some private bank becomes the new owner. And when a mansion in the hills is confiscated due to unpaid taxes, the government takes possession. But the government, the private banks, they're not in the real estate business, so they want to unload these houses as fast as they can, sometimes selling them for substantially below market value. Imagine finding a great four-bedroom, two-bath home for $34,000. That's just $215 a month. To learn how to get a free list of foreclosures, call now. 1-800-358-9611. CRN is offering rebates of up to $1,000 in cash, and you can find out how to get up to an extra $2,500 on top of that. So call in the next 30 minutes to learn how to get a free list of foreclosures that may be in your area. 1-800-358-9611. 1-800-358-9611.
Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Ginny, I'm here with my co-host, Miss Jessica. How are you doing today, Jess?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm kind of excited about our show tonight. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. The topic of our show tonight is how to communicate with your angels. We all have them. We don't all acknowledge them, but they're not going away, so why not learn how to embrace them in your life, right?
Sounds like a great topic for me.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think there's some interesting facts that a lot of people don't know about, so I hope to share them with everyone tonight. And then later on in the show, we're going to be taking some live calls and doing some mini angel readings. So please make a note of the call-in number. That's 323-679-0882. Now, that's our call-in number, so please feel free to call in if you're looking for a mini reading or you just want to make a comment on our topic of the week or even if you have some advice. Go ahead. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. And by the way, the chat room is now open. It's live. And so if you want to go in and ask a question or make a comment, we're going to try and read those live on the air today as well. I think we've got Susie's in there with us tonight. She's going to kind of welcome everybody to the chat room and keep them comfortable, and that's always a good thing. So, Jessica, how has your week been?
Well, it's been a busy week, like usual, and I have some exciting news. My son, Brian, actually has been studying for the past 2 weeks. He decided he wants to be a police officer, And so he's going to go to school, and he's taking the entrance exam tomorrow.
Oh, gosh. Well, good luck. Okay, all our listeners tonight have to say a special prayer for Brian, because this is a big step for him for so many reasons.
It is. It's a big step, and I'm really proud of him. It's taken him a while to come to this decision, but I think it's an awesome one, and I know he's going to do a great job.
I know he will do a great job, and I think that's wow. So does that mean that if I'm driving down the street and tooling around a little too fast and I get a ticket, I can go
to
him?
My son, Brian, wouldn't that be hilarious?
That would. I got your other son out of a ticket once.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I was driving by the mall and saw her son pulled over by a police officer, and I got out, and I said, gosh, his mother's going to kill him when she finds out, and I'll make sure I tell her, do you think you could maybe give him a break? And she said, well, I'll give him a warning this once.
And he appreciated that.
Yes,
and that was not the first time, unfortunately.
Well, I know. I wasn't there for the other one. Well, it's been a good week, and I'm gonna make sure we say lots of prayers for your son tomorrow, because
well,
I'd really
you.
Love
I appreciate
for that
it.
To happen. I did something kind of off, I wouldn't say off color, but unusual for me.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Saturday night, my husband and I went to a place called Hamburger Mary's, which was voted the best hamburger place in Orlando.
And it is. They have to die for hamburgers.
They're delicious. They're huge. I mean, really, you order one and two people eat
off.
Oh,
I love
huge.
Their food, and you and I actually have been there ourselves
with
our kids, and it's a really cool place.
It's a neat place, and while we were there, when you had taken us there that day, we had seen that they had female impersonators. So I took my husband and told him we were going to go see some celebrity impersonators.
I really find that so hysterical.
So we got there and we were getting seated and he whispers to me, these women are really tall. and he figured it out pretty darn quick and he got a kick out of it until he got pulled up on stage. And I made sure I pulled out my iPhone and videotaped the whole thing. I like to think of it as blackmail for
there
the future.
There you go.
But it was an interesting night, and, you know, I accept everyone, all different kinds of people, and I never judge, and I thoroughly enjoyed the evening. And I am telling you, Bette Midler was phenomenal.
Really?
Live in LA, phenomenal. I mean, it was just,
so it's something you would tell people to go see.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know, it's something that you would go maybe once a year to see because, you know, I'm sure they changed their acts and everything, but it was funny, it was entertaining, and they were just very talented people.
Huh.
You know, they were very talented. It was just, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. And this morning I woke up, I thought I'd gone blind.
Why?
I tried a sleep mask for the first time.
The sleep mask, like the little gel things?
Yeah, but apparently it slid over. I woke up, couldn't see anything. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, that wasn't good. Well, anyway, in just a little bit, we're going to be doing live mini readings. So please, everybody, go ahead and call in at 323-679-0882. Remember, do not give your last name, but please do give your real first name. These are considered mini readings because a reading is a personal thing, and it should be very discreet. And there are so many things that I would not want to go out over the airwaves. So I'll keep it conservative, and I'll get you the answer. But I don't want to dig too deep because I do not want to encroach on your privacy. So that's kind of important. Our topic of the week, how to communicate with your angels. And this is going to be a really good topic.
Oh, it's going to be neat, and it's something we talk about a lot.
We really do, and you know, I practice it every day, of course.
Right.
And I've had some, like, amazing things happen. And I think sometimes in life when we think that we've been guided in a certain direction or we've been given certain information, if it happens, you know, one time, you know, you're never really sure. But the more you tune into it, and it's almost like tuning a radio station, and the more we tune ourselves into it, and the more it happens, it no longer becomes a single event. It becomes a series of events that collectively you realize, my gosh, this is absolutely amazing.
And everybody has stories.
Everybody. And we actually got some emails because, as you all know, every week we discuss what our topic's going to be next week, and we ask you to write in and send us an email and comment on it. And so we've been doing that. And next week's topic, by the way, is we're going to be doing chakra healing. And we are actually going to do a 15-minute healing focusing on one of your chakras live on the show. It'll be a long-distance healing and is incredibly effective. So we'll talk about what can happen when you have a chakra healing done, how it works, the different changes it can make in your life. Yeah, it'll be really great. And we'll do the chakra healing at the end of the show, folks, because I want everybody to have a glass of water next to them, because it'll put you in a very relaxed state. So if you decide to go to sleep after the show is off the air, then it'll be the perfect time
right,
to do that.
Because I think a lot of people don't really understand the whole chakra thing.
I think they don't, and it's holistic medicine. It's considered a CAM therapy, which is a complementary alternative medicine by the American Healthcare Association. They actually use versions of it at MD Anderson. They use it in the UK. They actually use that as opposed to giving people calming drugs
really?
Before they go in for surgery.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's based on a lot of different modalities, but it's very interesting, and I think everyone should tune in next week to hear about that. And if you have any questions that you want us to answer on air, go ahead and go to the website www.drgnny.com. That's drgnny.com. And hit the contact me button, and then you can send any questions you have, and we'll read them and try and answer them. Let me run down to the mailbox. It's a little rusty, as we all know by now, and I'll pull it open and take the mail out. I know. I love it. I still love it, and I'm not going to stop using it. Okay.
You're the only one that has a little tiny witch in your mailbox.
I know. I just think it's funny. Okay, so let's take these out. Let's see what we've got here. We've got quite a few. I'll let you go ahead and read the first
one. Yeah, and there are quite a few. Wow, everybody has a little story, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
This is one, and it's a rather long one, from Amy, and she is from San Diego, California. And what she said was, "Hi, Dr. Jenny, I found this angel story online and had to share it with you." Okay. It says, "One day in 1979, I was driving along Alameda and Firestone in the city of Southgate, California, when all of a sudden my headlights went out. My muffler started to drag, making lots of sparks and noise. I was headed east at the time, so I had to make a U-turn to go back toward my home. My children were with me at the time, a son 3 and a daughter age 6. They were both very scared because it was dark and scary on the main street. The signs along the street said no stopping or parking at any time. As I was making the U-turn on Firestone, I noticed that about a half a mile back, the light signal was red. I thought I had enough time to park alongside of the Firestone plant and get out. I told my children to hurry up and get out of the car and wait along the side of the fence that surrounded the building. I was trying to hurry and get out of the car myself, but it was too late. A large brown van hit me as I was trying to get out of the driver's side of the car. I knew it was over for me. Then all of a sudden, I heard a strange swishing sound, and I looked up, and I was okay. I couldn't believe it. The brown van pulled up in front, or I should say alongside of my car, and the people in the van asked if I was okay. They were too shook up, or they too were shook up at just what just happened. Wow. I couldn't speak. I was in too much shock, and they were also. Their van went right through me. The noise I heard was definitely the sound of angel wings covering me as the van went through me. I will never, ever forget that night." Oh, my gosh, that is an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
Dr. Jenny, didn't you have something similar to that experience happen to you? I mean, as I'm reading this,
the story
sounded so familiar.
Yeah, I haven't shared that with a lot of people. I'm surprised you even remember.
I remember. That was a long time ago.
It was close to 20 years ago. I started being able to communicate and acknowledging that communication about 22 years ago with angels. I started getting these little messages, and I just started to become more they started to become more recognizable to me. And I was driving out. It was a beautiful day. I had a convertible, a little red convertible, and I'm tooling along. And I had crossed one part of the highway, and I was in the median. And this was out in a little old town called Deltona, which we now refer to as the land of newlyweds and newlyweds because it's a real little town. But I was out there, and I stopped in the median. And I remember thinking, oh, it's such a beautiful day. This is the life. This is great. I mean, what could be better? Beautiful weather. I was happy. Great car. And I stopped in the median, And I started, looked, didn't see anything, started to pull out, and as I pulled out onto the what would then be the fast lane of the highway, I looked up, and all I could see was the grill of an 18-wheeler.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just shut my eyes because I knew that was it. I mean, I knew that was it. And all of a sudden, it was like everything slowed down, and I looked down, and I'm still there. And I look up, and I could see. It was almost as if the truck had gone right through me. The car was being stretched out, almost like you see in a cartoon when it goes boing, and then it just slowly snaps back. And so I immediately, you know, turn the car off. I'm in the fast lane. I turn the car off, and I'm feeling my legs like, oh, my gosh. Looking around. Did anybody see that? I mean, that was.
Was there anybody else around?
There was not a soul on the road. And then I turn back and look at the truck because this is my thought. If the truck kept going, then I was insane. Okay. But the truck, he was braking, and he stopped way far down because he was moving at a good clip. He stopped. He came to a dead stop. Really far down because it took that long for him to stop. He must have been thinking, dear God, how did
what happened?
I don't know what happened. All I know is I guess it wasn't my time. I was shaking unbelievably.
I mean, it sounds just like this woman's story.
Well, and I'll tell you a story. My brother's very active in his church in Deltona, and so we really do love the people of Deltona. And he had somebody in his church who told him a story almost identical to mine.
Really?
And so I think I knew that day that I was obviously saved for a bigger and better thing for a reason. There had to be a reason, but I'll never forget that. And I'm just so surprised you remembered that. Good for you.
Yeah, well, after hearing a story like that, that just makes you a believer all the more.
Well, it really does, and I'll tell you what, I don't ever want to have to relive that experience
again. No, absolutely not.
You know, it was scary. Okay, I've got one here from Mary Beth C. from Dayton, Ohio. She says, our daughter was going to a party to meet a friend, and I told her not to go. She said that she really wanted to go, and when I went to get on the phone, she took the car keys and the car and left to go to the party. She said she got about halfway to the party and started hearing a clinging noise in the car. It sounded like the engine. She continued to drive, and then the car felt like it was being pulled, the steering wheel, off to the left-hand side. She felt that maybe it wasn't meant for her to go to the party that night, so she turned the car around. She said after she turned the car around, the clinging in the engine and the pulling to the left-hand side stopped. She came home. I, of course, grounded her for taking the keys and going out to the party that night. And the next morning, sadly, we found out that there was a drive-by shooting at the party and the friend that she was going to meet had been killed. I feel like her guardian angel kept her from possibly being killed that night also. So thank you, guardian angel.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Pretty amazing.
I mean, that's amazing. It makes you, you know, realize you need to listen to those voices.
Well, you really do, and I happen to know for a fact that because I talk to so many people that this is one of so many stories out there. You know, I don't know. There are a lot of books that have been written, and there are a lot of people who talk about angel and angel communication. One of the biggest and most famous ones, and when I say biggest, I don't mean she's a large one.
A large angel.
Famous, well-known. Is Doreen Virtue. Doreen Virtue, and she's written some amazing books, and I probably have almost every one that she's ever written. But there's lots of others out there, and you can always pick up one of those books at your local bookstore, and they're filled with a lot of really, really good information. And I know that I would love to see a book that has nothing but stories of people who had angelic experiences. Because I think that would be like a really good thing.
Well, those stories are just so neat and uplifting.
They really are. I love those stories. And there's one thing I want to say to everybody. You know, I'm not a pusher. Now, I know you're thinking, what could I possibly mean when I say that? But it's important for me that everybody know that, you know, I was raised as a Christian, and I talk to God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the angels on a daily basis. But I also realize that many people are turned off with organized religion, and especially when it's forced on them. And I also know that a lot of people have suffered painful experiences in organized religious settings. So I don't push religion on anyone. I respect everyone's right to worship in whatever way they prefer. I do, however, believe that everyone can benefit from having some sort of spiritual path and a belief in a loving God. So I just kind of wanted to say that. We're going to get back on our topic, which is how to communicate with your angels and two and two.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's a climb. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes I knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going.
Christian Psychic Cafe. That was Miley Cyrus and The Climb. I love that song. I think it's so motivational. I know you've heard it to death, and yeah, I know. It gets old after a while. Okay, we're going to talk about our topic now, which is how to communicate with angels. You know, the first thing I want to say is
I have a couple questions before you start in
okay.
your big topic conversation.
Sure.
I know there's angels, spirit guides, and archangels. But I'm not quite sure which is which. I mean, are angels our loved ones that have crossed over and they come back to support us?
Mm-hmm.
And is it wrong to ask an angel or spirit guide for help with something as unimportant as getting your lawnmower fixed so you can cut the lawn that weekend?
Okay.
You know, I feel
yeah.
like sometimes you shouldn't ask them for help because, I mean, are you only supposed to ask for the really important stuff?
That's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, and I have another question, okay?
Okay.
I want to squeeze these all in before you start talking.
Okay.
Are angels men or women?
Oh, good. That's a really good question.
And
okay.
One more.
Okay.
Do angels really have wings? You know, I mean, you see everything in the Bible and angels with beautiful wings, but I think in my head I picture angels as being just people.
Right.
You know?
Well, I can tell you, and that's actually one of the things, I'm going to answer all those questions tonight, but
now that I squeezed them all in.
No, you know, I'm glad you did, because I think a lot of people have similar questions, and I've answered a lot of those questions when I do readings with folks. So to start with, angels are not gender specific. Okay?
Oh, okay.
They're not male, they're not female, and I actually asked once, and I was told because we don't need to procreate. And I thought, oh, that makes
sense. Well,
that's
interesting.
Doesn't that, yeah,
makes
that
does
total
make
sense,
sense.
Right? But I have found that when we view our angels or perceive their energy, and people who have done that, females tend to perceive the angels as male, whereas men, for the most part, perceive them as male and female. And yet there's no right way to perceive them or wrong way. It's just whatever energy that you feel connected to them at that time.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
well, that makes sense.
Yeah, but they're not male or female. And, you know, there's been so much written about the subject of angel communication. There's articles, there's pamphlets, there's books. I mean, ever since the invention of the printing press. But prayer's been around since the very beginning. So when we pray to our angels, and I want to make this clear, in the Catholic religion it's referred to giving daily devotions, you're asking for angels to intercede on your behalf to God. So it's kind of important to note that you're not praying to a false god, and you're never putting anyone before God, or if you call it creator, that's fine, whatever your belief system is, but angels work as a connector between you and God or your creator. You're simply asking for an angel to be kind of like a mediator, and who better to ask the Lord, you know, on your behalf than those who are forever in his presence. So I think before we can ask the angels for help, we need to make sure we understand who they are and how they fit into the hierarchy of people that surround us that we sense but don't always see, right? And I think that was kind of one of your questions. So let's talk about who angels are versus who spirit guides are and also who archangels are. A spirit guide, and this is like my biggest question, is a spirit guide an angel, or is an angel, can they be spirit guides, and can they be people that have passed over? If you're looking at rungs on a ladder, this is how the hierarchy goes. A spirit guide would come up on the lowest rung, okay? Spirit guides are often people we knew when they were alive, but not always. It could be somebody that we just connect with on a specific energy level, but they were all human beings at one time, and they've crossed over. Because of God's permissive will, and we're going to learn a lot more about that when Father Bob Bailey comes on the 18th. He's a Roman Catholic priest, and he's going to be a guest on our show on May 18th. So mark your calendars, because he's going to be talking about permissive will. And God grants this will to have like a two-way street after you've crossed over, to be able to come back and contact those in need and those who could prosper, you know, from their ability to be here with you. Now, this is also important. They're not always your deceased grandparents, but oftentimes they can be. When people cross over to the next plane, they don't actually have jobs to do. I mean, it's not like they get in their car and they stop at the gas station, fill up, grab a cup of coffee at the 7-Eleven, and arrive to work 5 minutes like they did when they were living here on Earth. It's a little bit different. Most spirit guides are meant to continue their divine learning process so that they can continue on their spiritual path to a higher consciousness. So we are very fortunate that God does grant many of them, you know, permissive will to come back and forth to help us mature and to smooth over the rough areas of our lives on occasion. So these guides, they can come in and out of your life as these events happen, and some will hang around your life for your entire life. Some will come and go regularly, and some will pop in for an event and leave. They're busy people because, remember, they're always trying to expand their knowledge as well, and we can often tell they're with us because sometimes we'll just get like a whiff of their perfume or a smell of their brand of cigar smoke. And for just that fleeting moment, you'll smell it and then it'll be gone. But once we do, we know they're there. In that instant, you know that your spirit guide has been there. Has that ever happened to
you?
Yeah,
it has.
Yeah, I know that your mother used to wear a certain perfume.
She did, and she passed away last year, and I have really sensed her, especially in the last couple months.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to think that she was around.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. So that's the first hierarchy, the first rung on the hierarchy.
Okay.
On the rung on the
so
ladder.
So I understand spirit guides.
Okay. So angels. The next one would be angel / guardian angel. Okay. Now, that would be the next level up, okay? And even the word angel, it means messenger if you look it up. So angels, and in this case guardian angels, bring messages from the divine, from God or creator, and they are gifts from us or to us from God. And they're sent here to help us remember to be kind and loving and not to waste our gifts and to polish our talents for the betterment of all the world. They keep us out of harm's way before our time, and I want you to underline that, before our time, because that's kind of an important thing, and we're going to get back to that a little bit later. They help to guide us in areas of, you know, everywhere of our life, career, relationships, and even finances. They're here to help enact God's plan of true harmony, okay? The next one, then, would be Archangel.
Okay, and so they're a step above Angel.
Correct. And archangels, like, they're the heavy hitters. They're the main honchos.
They're the main dudes.
They're the main dudes, you know. They're on the top rung, just under God or creator, and they're the strongest, the largest, the most powerful. And in terms of how many of them there are, there could be four, there could be seven, or it could be an infinite number, depending on what your belief system is. You know, and that's kind of interesting, because I hear this question a lot. Well, how many angels are there, and what are all their names? For me, I'm going to say this right now, I have seen, and three have appeared to me, that would be Raphael, Gabriel, and Michael. Those are the three that I have, I don't want to say intimate knowledge, but I see them, okay? And so it all depends on who's counting. Like, mainstream Protestant view has deemed that certain angels, archangels, based on verses in the Bible, that there's only one. They say Michael is the only angel identified because in Theologians 4:16, the verses state that Jesus will return for his church with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, notice singular. And then, you know, they don't ever make any other references to archangels, but, you know, Billy Graham, the title of his book, Angels, plural, God's Secret Agents, plural, all right? But then you go on and you read that in the Roman Catholic Church, it uses the terminology a little bit differently, because their compilation of the Hebrew scriptures are different than in Protestant churches. So the Catholic Bible includes, and if I say this word wrong, I'm never going to live myself down, Apocrypha. I've got to get it right, Apocrypha. And
I don't know what that word means.
No one knows. So I could have said it wrong, because these are a series of 14 what they call secret books that were written between 1350 and 1400. Isn't it shocking?
Okay.
I know this. Talk about stuff you'll probably never have to use another day in your life. I know, it's kind of weird. But a lot of that stuff was deemed unusable because, in a large part, they couldn't prove the facts of some of the things that were in those books.
Oh, okay.
But yet they still use some of the things that are in them. So it's kind of like, we keep what we want, and the other stuff, you know, they haven't kept. So it's kind of a little bit confusing. But in the Book of Tobit, which is in the Apocrypha, it talks about Gabriel, Raphael, and other designated angels. So they talk about three. So now Roman Catholic Church says there's three. But wait, now do I hear four? Yes, I hear four. There's Uriel, and Uriel is sometimes called an archangel because in this book, which is the Book of Tobit, Esdras, that's actually the name, Esdras, refers to him as the archangel of salvation. Okay, so we can go on and on and on. And then they say there were four, but then, wait, no, do we hear five? Yes, there was a fifth archangel. I think we all know that there was supposed to be an archangel, and I'm not going to say supposed to be. There was, and there is. There was an archangel that was no longer an archangel, and we all know that to be Lucifer, right? Lucifer was an archangel before his fall. Equal to perhaps or better than Michael, but even though the Bible refers to Lucifer as having been an angel, there's no verses that directly name him as an archangel. But people kind of say, well, if he was equal to or greater than Michael,
right, then he would be in the same level.
He would be at the same level in the same hierarchy, so therefore angel number five.
Okay.
You know, and I was good there. I thought five is a lot.
That sounds like a lot.
Okay. But no. Could there be more? Yes. In Revelations 8:2, it says, there's a verse in there that says, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, And to them were given seven trumpets, plural now, and some identify the seven angels as archangels. And in the book of Tobit, Raphael identifies himself as saying, I am Raphael, one of the seven angels who stand and enter before the glory of God. So does this mean that there are seven archangels? Most people believe there are. Okay, the general consensus is there's seven archangels. Now, here's the thing, okay, everybody? We don't really know, do we? And I know you're sitting there saying, okay, if you don't know, maybe I've just wasted 20 minutes of my life that I'm never going to get back. But what I hope you're thinking is that there's no fast and written hard rule, and you need to have faith in your own belief system and in your communication with the angels. So I pray that they reveal themselves to you as they have to me in whatever manner they choose to communicate with you, okay? But nothing is set in stone, but I do know that I personally have dealt with Raphael, Gabriel, and Michael. And depending upon your religious beliefs, whether it's Judaism, Christianity, or whatever, you will find that there are different angels, archangels, numbers allotted to different religious beliefs. I know, that was kind of shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you wonder why one religion has a different number of angels as another.
Well, I know.
And I'm Protestant, and Michael is the only one that I remember hearing.
Because as the Protestants only believed in one
right.
archangel and the one, the trumpet,
right.
singular, right? So that's why. This is what I do know. Angels can help save your life and protect you from danger. And you do not need to ask them to do this. This is kind of important. In general, you should put it out there to your angels that you want and encourage their help. And you have to actually request them to enter into your life to help you in other areas of your life. But if you're looking to be saved by your angel, if he's supposed to stop you from having a life-altering experience, meaning a death experience before your time, they can do that without you requesting them to help. So you can request them to help in any other area, but there are three hard and fast conditions that you must always follow. Number one, you all may want to write this down, they may not interfere with God's plan for your soul. They may not interfere with God's plan for your soul. Number two, they must not be harmful to you or to anyone else.
Makes sense.
Okay, that makes absolute sense. And number three, the timing must be right in God's eyes. And I like that one in particular because how many times people have called me and said, you know, I've been praying and praying and praying, and it hasn't happened yet. Well, God's not going to let certain things happen before their time. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means that it's not the right time for it to happen. As any of you have listened to this show or had consultations with me know, a lot of times people are looking for a certain romantic connection. But we as individuals that maybe have not gotten over a past experience or something that's caused us to need maybe to heal inside, to learn how to trust again, to build up our own self-confidence. And if the right person was delivered to our front door at that exact moment, it wouldn't work out because we're not ready for that experience to happen. So better it comes when we are ready and when we are prepared and when it is right. And so that's kind of important. I think that's great. Okay, I'll tell you what. I know we've got a lot of people on the call-in line, so I'm going to go ahead and take one of the callers because everyone's been so very patient. I think we have Toria on the line. Is that correct? Hello, do we have Toria? Okay,
sounds like she's not there.
Is Toria there?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello?
Oh, you are there. Okay, hello. This is Dr.
Yes.
Ginny. How can I help you?
I just heard, you know, you were talking about a little bit about relationships, and I was just wondering, like, what you were picking up on. I guess in my love life, I've done a lot of work on myself, and I've had some guys express interest in me and an ex like come back. So it's just very confusing.
Okay. So,
wanted to know what you're picking up on.
Mm-hmm. The first thing I want to tell you, I want to make sure I've got your name right. It's Toria, correct?
Yes.
Did I pronounce mm-hmm. it correctly? Okay.
Yes.
The thing
it
that
is.
I'm picking up, first off, is that you felt that you had to make some definite changes in your life, and I understand that. But I also feel as if there were some major trust issues on both sides. Is this correct in your relationship?
With the ex or yes, the ex, yes.
Yes, exactly. And I think that you knew that the trust issues were going to come up. I mean, you maybe weren't 100% sure how it was going to present itself, but you were sure that they were going to come up because you were seeing signs.
Yes.
I know, I can sense that. I know. And I think the other thing that I can see here is that you know that you deserve better than that. You know you're a better person than that. But for some reason, you were settling with this guy. Why were you settling? That's what I don't get. Why did you think you needed to settle for him?
Well, I don't know. I guess at the time, I thought I wasn't settling. And I pointed that out when he came back, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he pretty much said, you know, I regret breaking up with you, like, all this stuff. And anyway, I mean, I know the decision's up to me, obviously, but I do kind of feel like I might have settled. I'm not really sure because there's, you know, plus and minus.
I understand
of that person.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you a question. You knew when you were starting to date him that there were some real red flags. And instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to look for the whole package, you decided that you – actually, what I'm sensing is there was a little bit of fear. And when I say fear is that you really wanted to be in that relationship. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So there was a little fear that you weren't going to be in that relationship, so you decided to settle for not the whole package. And what I'm going to tell you is what I'm seeing is you made a decision really not to be with him and to hold out now for somebody who's better. You still wonder if he's going to come back and be the person that you want him to be. But I think you and I both know the answer to that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you need to look deeper into yourself. And really what I want you to work on is your self-confidence a little bit, because I can see that your self-confidence needs to be a lot better. You need to be more confident in who you are and what you are and to know that you deserve the best. You don't have to settle, okay? And I don't want you to be fearful of the clock ticking. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of time
going by? I know. So I don't want you to be fearful of that. What I want you to do is I want you to remember and in your heart to recognize that you deserve the absolute best, and you're not going to settle for something that's not the best, because if you do, it'll go strong for a couple of months, and the same thing's going to happen to you. So you can prevent this from happening again by allowing yourself to believe that you deserve nothing but the best and not settling for what you want. Not settling for what is in front of you, but getting exactly what you've been looking for. Make sense?
Okay,
yes, all right. No, I know. And the other thing I want to say to you is I see that this isn't the first time that you were hurt. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And so you need to kind of what I just said before I picked up the call with you, and I find that kind of amazing, is the one thing I had said is sometimes if the perfect person was dropped at our front door, we really would not be ready to embrace that relationship because we haven't healed past experiences that we've had. And in your case, you need to heal from those experiences because you don't want to be coming off as combative, assuming certain things are going to happen when they're not, just because they've taken place in the past. You need to get yourself on a path of accepting only a person who truly values you and allows you to speak your mind and allows you to be a confident individual. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Is this
great.
Helpful?
Thank you so much.
You're
yes,
very, very
definitely
welcome.
Helpful.
Very good. Listen,
right,
you have a blessed
thanks
night. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
Well, that's just what we were talking about,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's
exactly
advice that everybody
talking
needs
about
to listen to, let me tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? If the right man is dropped at your doorstep and you're not ready, then it's never going to work. So don't force open that unopened door, trying to create a situation when you're not ready. And it's going to happen. It'll happen for her, for sure.
And you just have to be patient.
You have to be patient, and she needs to work on her self-confidence.
Right.
Because she's a good soul with a great energy.
I just wanted to get to all of you, them who are there and offer some nice things to them girls. Streets are like diamonds and pearls. Dedicate to all the girls around the world. I'm Mrs. Raven and Shaggy with a combination with Yami. Flip this one for your musical dish.
Psychic Cafe. This is Dr. Ginny, and I'm here with my co-host, Miss Jessica, and our topic for tonight is how to communicate with your angels. Okay, so what we've learned so far tonight is that we know that there are three hierarchies. Okay, the hierarchy goes, well, it goes spirit guides, it goes angels or guardian angels, and then archangels. And we also know that for them to help, we simply have to ask, and we don't have to ask all the time. Here's the really neat part. You can simply say out loud right now, and I'll say it slow, and you can all repeat it if you want to wherever you're sitting. You can do it just in your head. All you have to do is say, oh, spirit guides, angels, and archangels, I request your assistance in my life now, and I always trust you will help guide me on the right path to serve my higher good, and I trust you and request your help in all areas of my life. In God's name we pray, amen. And so if you actually just said that with me, you've actually invited your angels to come in and help you and to guide you on your life's journey for your higher good. Now, some of the ways that angels and spirit guides communicate with us through our dreams is sometimes we'll wake up and we're not sure we really had a dream or an angelic experience. And I'm going to explain how you can tell the difference. A lot of times we'll get a gut feeling or an inner voice will come to us, and we're not quite sure what that is. You know, we kind of touched on that a little bit last week.
Yeah, see, I get that frequently, especially when I'm driving.
The inner voice.
That inner voice that says, don't go that way, don't turn the right, you know, and sometimes you end up going a completely different way to work. It's like, wow, why in the world did I do that, you know?
Right, yeah. You know, do you remember Maureen Ruggiero?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, from years ago we knew her. She worked at the same bank we did years ago. She was driving with a friend of hers, and they were driving on the highway in New Jersey on Route 206. And she was behind a truck, and her friend was in a car behind her. And she just got the weirdest feeling behind this 18-wheeler. And so she chose to go into the slow lane and to just ease up the gas a little bit. Well, her friend decided to stay with the truck and shot ahead and then pulled alongside the truck. The truck made a turn. It had not been loaded correctly. The truck rolled over on top and crushed everybody in the car. It was so sad, so horrible. And she said to me from that point forward, it made her a believer because she knew, you know, at that moment.
Right.
That an inner voice told her to it wasn't safe, change lanes, you know.
Wow.
This is the thing. It takes time to train to become a spirit guide. So it's kind of like a lot of times people, when someone passes away, people will call and they wonder, you know, why they haven't been contacted by their loved one, the one that had just passed away. And there's a reason, because they're in training. And it might sound funny, but it's kind of akin to a spiritual counselor training program. They need to learn how to support you in a positive way without affecting your free will, okay? So, you know, we kind of talked about that about your mom a little bit.
We did. And I kept thinking, as soon as she passed away, you know, why am I not dreaming about her? Why am I not hearing from her? Because she and I talked about a lot of this before she passed away. I'm like, just give me a sign. I just want to know that you're fine. And I really expected it right away.
Mm-hmm. It takes a while. I mean, they literally have to train. I know it sounds crazy, and I was just talking to somebody about this the other night. You know, think about angels, and you know, you think about, do they have work up there? Well, they do. I mean, their job is to reach a higher level of consciousness at whatever level they are. Okay, and there's many different levels, and I, you know, just think about angels, for instance. You know, do you think that they stand around the water cooler on Monday morning and say, "Hey, good job," you know, "Raphael, way to go"? I don't think so, you know, but I do think that there's that positive energy and that communication, like you've done a wonderful job.
Right.
I was saying to a client the other night, you know, when Sully landed that plane on the Hudson and saved all those people on that plane, you know, I'm sure his angel got a lot of pats on the back.
Oh, no
kidding.
I'm sure
they said, good job, you know. I mean, there's no fast written rule on how an angel can communicate with us. It's their job to find a way to connect with us, okay? And so, obviously, you know, he had an angel on his shoulder. Or how about that guy that was in the World Trade Center, and he was in one of the towers, and I think he was on the 80-something floor. He was a fireman. And the entire building collapsed around him.
Oh, I remember that.
And he literally rode down in the center of this, got to the bottom, and walked out without a scratch on him.
Wow.
You know, so his angel got a lot of kudos, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure. And then there's the angel who helped produce Jersey Shore. He got reassigned.
I was going to say, I don't think there's an angel.
You don't know that angel,
that.
Do you? No, I'm just kidding. Don't call in. I'm sure Jersey Shore is a great show if you've watched it. Okay.
And you're 16.
I don't know. If anyone under 16 should be watching it. Here's a question. Was I visited by an angel? And most people, when they finally connect with their angels, have an emotional or a physical feeling of sorts. So if you want to know if you just experienced a true angelic connection, look for some of these signs. Did it give you warm fuzzies? Like if you woke up from a dream and you felt that this was different from any dream you've ever had before, it somehow maybe felt more real. did it give you warm fuzzies or simply make you feel good, kind of warm all over and happy, then you were probably visited by an angel. Even if the dream was a warning of danger, did it still make you feel confident when you woke up? Did you still feel safe and secure? Did it not frighten you? Okay. Simply knowing that this was the real deal, you woke up knowing this was the real deal, then you may have been visited by an angel. Okay, there may have been some communication there, because when we have a dream that warns us of danger, but we wake up feeling strong and confident, that's because we know that we've just been giving a message, and we wouldn't be given that message if we couldn't still do something about it.
Right.
Okay, so it's not too late. Did you ever notice, we just talked about that, like a specific scent when you wake up? Maybe, you know, just a scent of maybe a loved one, you know. And when you walk into the kitchen sometimes or sit on a couch, you suddenly just get a whiff of them. That means you were probably visited by an angel. If you took a nap on the couch, I've had this happen to people, took a nap on the couch, and they dreamt that their loved one or the person they cared for more than anything else in the world had come and sat next to them while they were laying on the couch napping. And they'll reach out when they wake up and they feel that that seat cushion is still warm. You were visited by an angel. If you woke up and dreamt that a loved one had been sleeping next to you, and you could still see where their head had made an impression in the pillow, because I've had people where that's happened, you may have been visited absolutely by an angel or by your spirit guide. So these are some of the things that you can look for, just very basic, simple things, of whether or not you've been visited by an angel. The feeling that this is real, it could feel as sometimes maybe like somebody touched your head, your hand, or your shoulder. A lot of people say that that's how they feel they've been notified. It will feel natural, almost as if like the experience is coming to you, but it's very natural. Sometimes it might make you either super hyper or super sleepy afterward. But if it causes you to make some life-changing, you know, thought-changing experiences, in other words, if you're sitting there thinking, you know, this has just been shown to me, or I had this dream and I really think this is the direction I'm supposed to go in, and it just feels right to you, it feels good to you, and it makes sense, then these are all angelic contacts or visits from our spirit guides. You know, the one thing you want to make sure, though, is that you don't allow your ego to get in the way. And let me explain what that means. You don't want to take a nap after you've had an argument with your husband or your wife about starting a new business, let's say. And you go take a nap, and then you dream that you started this business and made all kinds of money. And then wake up and then go out and tell your spouse, well, I just dreamt about it, so I know it's something we need to do. Because there's probably some ego in there. So you have to use common sense when you do this, okay? I'm going to tell you something that sometimes it comes as a daydream when we get contacted by angels. And I'm going to tell you a story about a true story that happened to me, and you'll probably recognize this as soon as I tell you it, because obviously I've had a lot of contacts, and,
right,
and you know about them all. But when you've had one or two, they stand out. You're not really always sure. But, boy, when you've had many, 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 then suddenly you start to realize there is absolutely something to this. Let me tell you another way that you will not know that you've been contacted by an angel. Okay? This is the N-A, not angel. Okay? If you're suddenly very panicked and afraid, okay, you will not feel panic. You will not be afraid if you've just been contacted by an angel or a spirit guide.
Okay?
Okay? Because they have a calming effect on us. That's actually something that's part of the divine guidance that they're giving us is a calming effect, so that we can go out and bring that calmness into the world, because they say peace starts with one, okay? If there's no scent but a foul odor, okay, if you feel something touching your arm and it don't smell too good, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, that would
okay?
be scary.
That's
when you run
thing,
away.
Right, exactly. I actually have had clients who feel like someone's fondling them. If this happens, immediately call upon Archangel Michael to clear away any negative energy that might be there. If you suddenly feel all alone, and you're not, there's other people there, but you suddenly feel very lonely all of a sudden, that means that's not an angel, okay? And if you wake up having a gut feeling to suddenly change your life and you feel pressured to do it right away that instant, and it doesn't feel like it's being divinely guided at all, you think this doesn't make sense, There's no logic to it. You probably have not been visited by an angel. That's N-A, no angel. So the thing is, when they come to us in a dream state, okay, and it makes us feel safe and warm and cozy, and the experience stays with us, okay, then we know that that's the real deal, okay? Sometimes when we put our thoughts on autopilot, like when we're driving somewhere or vacuuming or waiting, we can kind of have a movie play in our head. I call it daydreaming. And it's more real, though. And when it happens to you, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to share an experience that happened 20 years ago, 21 years ago. And this actually happened to me. We were planning to take a trip with some friends. Our friend had MS, and he was a retired police officer from the Bronx. And he didn't have much time left. And so we were going to go to Las Vegas. That was our trip. And we were planning to leave in a few days, and I was getting some cleaning done in our kitchen. And I had tile counters at the time, so I was very neurotic about using a toothbrush and fantastic.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Scrubbing, spraying, scrubbing. I know, it was really crazy. So here I am scrubbing and spraying. And it was like this movie was playing in my head, and I didn't really realize it till it was over. But it was about my husband. And in this daydream, I was shown that if he didn't get medical treatment for an earache, he was going to die. And I thought that was the craziest thing. And kind of like, you know how you're doing something and you're kind of not really, and all of a sudden you start to focus and you're like, what the heck was that? You know, and it was this daydream. And there was more to it, but that was the gist of it. So I went and ran into his office. He was at our home office at the time, and I ran in and I asked him if he had an earache, and he said, no. So, of course, 3 days later, we get on the plane, and as the plane's starting to lift, I look over at him, and he starts tugging on his ear. So I said, what's wrong? He said, oh, that my ear hurts. Right?
Oh, wow.
So we're on the plane, and his ear is really killing him. And I said, you know, all these lights and signals go off for me, okay? I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is scary. So as soon as we land, I said, we're going to the doctor. And he's like, no, no, no. Well, of course, you know. He didn't want to ruin Jerry's trip, and I understand that, but at the same time, nothing was going to get me off this. So we land, and, you know, he went to the doctor just to make me stop nagging. They said, oh, it's probably just an earache. They gave him some Augmentin, which at the time was the strongest antibiotic on the market. And he broke out. He broke out in a rash. He had to go to the hospital and go on a Benadryl drip for 4 days. Harry was laying in the hospital. Poor Jerry and his wife went home early.
What a great trip.
It was terrible. And he's laying there, and they couldn't get this rash to go away. And he
so
said,
he was allergic to the Augmentin?
He was allergic to the Augmentin. And I'm sitting next to the bedside, and he says, you know, if you didn't push me to go to the doctor for this earache, none of this would have happened. And I said to him, you know, I'm well aware of that, and I cannot explain why this happened. I only know that it saved your life. I can't figure out how in this process it did, but you're not going to get any apologies from me because I know that was real. Now, had it been anybody else, I don't think he would have listened, but he kind of knows me,
right.
Okay, and he knows I've had these things over the years, so he's, whatever, I'm here. He wanted to go home, so the hospital said, okay, we'll release you, but you have to promise that you go straight to the emergency room when you get back to Florida. So we flew home on the red eye, went to the hospital emergency room that night. It was really early morning at that point, and they put him on another Benadryl drip. And then the next morning, and I'll never forget this, 8:35 in the morning, Dr. Eli Porth comes in. He was an ENT specialist. He took one look in my husband's ear, and he said, who rebuilt your middle ear? And my husband said, well, I used to have a lot of earaches, so about 20 years ago in Germany, where I'm from, after another one of my ear infections, they did an experimental surgery on my ear at the University of Cologne. It was like a teaching college, like a medical college there, and they replaced all the parts of my middle ear. Now, are you ready? You're waiting for this because this is the killer.
Yeah,
this
know
is
this
it.
Is the,
you know, okay. All right. Here's the reason why all this happened. Dr. Porth said, Hans, I was an intern and spent my summer in Germany studying under the doctor that did your surgery when your surgery was done. Everyone who had that surgery done developed a cyst that, if gone untreated, could literally kill you. He said, you should have received a letter. You were supposed to have been checked.
Oh, wow.
And my husband said, I never got a letter. I moved to the United States. Maybe it got lost. I don't know. They did the surgery the very next day. Here's the miracle. Dr. Porth came out of the operating room, and he sat down next to me, and he's drawing a picture on the pant leg of his scrubs. And he was like a little boy. He was so excited. And he said, He said, had it gone 3 more weeks, my husband probably wouldn't be with us anymore because I'd already eaten through the mastoid bone and was pushing against the outer layer of the brain. He said, it's not cancerous. It's gone. He said, and I actually think he's going to retain all his hearing, and he actually did.
That's amazing.
So it was kind of a miracle. And, you know, we don't always get to see the outcome of why certain things happen. In that particular instance, I was able to see it, and it was a great thing. It was frightening going through it, but here's the great part. Not only did it happened to me, so I know that I know what it's like to have that daydream come into your head. And I know a lot of people are sitting here saying, well, yeah, but, you know, you're psychic, right, and you can communicate. And,
right.
But I don't have any ability that anybody else doesn't have.
But you know how to tap into it.
You learn how to tap into it. You do this through meditation, okay, when you sit quiet and thoughts are coming into your head. Some of the ways that angels will put thoughts into your head are varied, and I'm going to get to those in just a minute. I'm going to check the call in line because I don't want people waiting too long, but
right.
I'll explain how you can tap into that in just 1 second. Let's see who's live online now because I know we've got a whole bunch of people. Let's take a look here. We've got Lisa. I hope I've unmuted you correctly. Lisa, this is Dr. Ginny. You're live. Can I help you?
Me?
Hi, Lisa?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. I'm great. Calling
Thanks
you from Holiday,
calling.
Florida.
Yeah. Oh, Holiday, Florida. Good.
Yay.
We're in Florida, too. Yay.
Yeah. Holiday.
What's your name? Well, you sing. I won't have to play a song. That's good. I love it. How can I help you tonight?
I'm sitting here with my angel. He's a beautiful white cat. Named him because I have such an affinity. My question is, I'm just kind of concerned with my financial abundance. You know, what do you see, or my angels? I feel my spirit guides telling me certain things, but I'm just curious on your side.
Okay.
Because I'm putting so much into it.
The first thing that I can sense with you, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first thing that I'm sensing is that you truly believe in manifesting your own destiny. Is this correct?
Yes, law of attraction,
okay.
And that type thing.
Yes. You've probably read The Secret. You've
mm-hmm.
Correct? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know as well as I do that you have to, part of manifesting is not only believing it, but also allowing the time for it to come and trusting that it will. I believe that you believe it wholeheartedly, but I also believe that sometimes you question it just a little bit, and you also question some of the feedback that you get from your spirit guide, correct? It's not
yes.
that you question it, but you just want to validate it.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I understand that. So what I'm going to say to you is that based on the principles that I know you've studied, because I can tell you've really done a lot of reading about this, is your future going to be what you expect it to be? No. It's going to be different than you expect it to be, but it's still going to be great. Does it mean that you won't be financially secure? Once again, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I see the finances coming, and as you manifest, as you know, one of the things is sometimes it comes to us, but not in the fashion in which we had anticipated it. So that's going to be okay. The thing that I'm a little confused about, and I'm looking back into your past a little bit, I feel that you were slightly taken advantage of. Is this correct in your past?
Yeah.
A little bit financially? Yeah, okay. I don't want to go into great detail because other people are listening, but I see.
Right.
Yes, okay.
You got it.
So, okay, all righty. Because of that, I think that it kind of really set you back, and you literally had to climb a mountain yourself to get back where you needed to get back to, correct?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you've done that. So what I can tell you is that I know that you've been very careful in what you've been doing, and you're trying to move forward, but at the same time you kind of feel like you're in the middle of a lake treading water, and
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to keep your head just above water. I'm going to tell you from everything that I can see here, you're looking at about 8 months before you start to see a forward progression that's going to make you feel good enough to know that it's okay to move forward. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's something you're thinking about doing, but you're not sure if you should do it, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
yeah,
and so,
yeah,
yeah. Okay. I understand that. So based on what I'm saying that it's going to take 8 months for you to have that forward progression that you're looking for.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Does that answer your question? I think it does.
It sure did. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. How did you find us tonight?
You sent me an email link. Yay!
Good. Well, yeah. I'm thrilled that you called. Thank you so much. And we'd love to have you on every week, so listen on Wednesday nights, okay?
I certainly will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless. Good night, Lisa.
Bye.
The law of abundance. It's great, and it's something I've read a lot about, and the key agreements, and how to manifest your own destiny. And there's a lot of truth to that, and if you read some of those books, it's amazing how you can make a life.
I haven't read The Secret yet. I've been meaning to, and I
know
so many people
have. I have a copy right
here.
Take it with you. Take it with you this evening. Folks, it's a great book. It's wonderful. We've got Angel by Natasha Bedingfield.
Dark Child Forever.
Just like a shadow, I'll be beside you. Comfort, I'm there to guide you home. I will provide you a place to settle. I wanna be your own. Tell me what you wanna me to do. I'll make it great to be a man, but a woman who can stand on every promise given, making vows to please a man.
With the Christian Psychic Cafe, I'm Dr. Ginny. Our topic for tonight is how to communicate with your angels. And I know Jessica's asked some great questions, and we've read some wonderful emails that have come in with different people having different experiences, letting them know that angels are out there and communicating with them. And sometimes we hear them and we don't quite know how, and that's the one thing we also need to know is that there's no rule book on this, you know.
Well, and I think everybody's had their own personal experiences, so, you know, I don't think it comes across the same to everybody. I mean, I know you've had a lot more than I have.
Right, yeah, and I'm very tuned into it, but everybody can get tuned into it. It's the angel's job to try and communicate with you in a certain way, and so, you know, I think there are times that they try to put an inner voice in our head, or sometimes when we're not supposed to do something or we're heading in the wrong direction, we may get suddenly feel nauseous, or sometimes we just see kind of red flags at things, you know, we're looking at, and in our head we're hearing, no, we talked about that again last week, because you'll find a lot of our topics kind of, they cross over each other.
Right.
Last week's show was about how one door closes and another opens and how to recognize opportunity. Part of recognizing opportunity, of course, is being tuned in to what's going on in your environment. And that means listening, you know, to our angels. Heaven may speak to us through a loud disembodied voice, which can be outside our head, or a quiet inner voice inside our head, or a conversation that we happen to overhear. Or by hearing music in our minds over and over again. I don't even know if I should tell you this story, but
Well, now you open the door.
Well, I you know this story, I'm sure you do, but this is one that will amaze. Okay. Here we go. This is
going to be a good one.
I'm thinking, why am I sharing this story? And after I share this story, I'll take another live in caller because. This is it. When I met my husband, is a financial planner, and a very successful financial planner that had come over here from Germany, and he had some really, you know, upscale clients, and we used to get, we'd get calls from Dukes, it's the Duke of something, and the first time I used to giggle, because I'm like, yeah, there was a girl on the phone, but it was really a Duke. And he was working with one of the top rated attorneys here in Florida, who had brought him a gentleman who was in the middle of getting a patent for a process to make ethanol out of pulp wood. And it was this unique process, and he was supposed to be this wonderful scientist. And my husband had been working with him prior to he and I meeting, and then, of course, we dated and we got engaged. And every time I saw that man, you know, the book mentions music, and I obviously this is meant for me to tell because it just, you know, that's one of the things. And so every time I looked at him, do you remember that movie, The Sting, with Robert Redford?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Okay. You're going to love this. I don't know if I ever told you this. You're going to die when you hear this. You're going to die. Because you know. You have pictures next to him at the wedding. Okay. So every time I would look at this man, I would hear the song, you know, the music from The Sting in the background. And as I would hear the music, I would think, I don't trust this guy. And I don't know why. He was very personable. His wife was very – they were wonderful people. But – I just had this, I felt like he was a con. So after we got, my husband asked him to be the best man at the wedding, and we got married, and we have all the pictures with Carl and his wife Helen. And right after, about 4 months after we got married, he was still doing the investment with him. And my husband raises a lot of money from a lot of investors all over the world. And he always keeps it in a private account so that the person he's raising the money for doesn't have access to it till all the I's are dotted and, you know, T's are crossed, and in this case until that patent was approved, because it was patent pending. And so that was protected, and at about the 4 month mark after we got married, I said to him, I don't trust him. There's something about him. I can't explain it. I keep hearing the music from this thing. I think he's a con artist. And he said to me, really? And I said, no, really. He said, look, the attorney has lunch once a week with the governor. This guy is legit. He didn't use the word legit. That's my word now. But, you know, he probably said, no, this man is very good. But, you know,
legit is the word of the day.
Yeah. So I said, well, you know, I don't feel comfortable with him. I can't explain it. It's not like he's perverted. I just feel like you can't trust him. So we had met him out in Lakeland. They had exchanged some papers. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. They went over some details. My husband had given him a file. And this was about 25 years. So it was about 20, 25 years, so about 24 and a half years ago. And And as we left, I said to my husband, I am telling you, he is not who he's portraying himself to be. I can't explain it, but he's not. You've never been to his house. He said he does all his scientific experiments at his home. Nobody knows the location. Everything is kept there. He has a lab. And I said, yeah, tell you what, why don't we follow him? Now, you know, I'm not a stalker, but...
a detective.
Right, and my husband was, he's like, of course not, I'm not going to... And I said, please, humor me, please. So we followed him that night, and we followed him for about 20 minutes. And he pulls into a really shabby old trailer park.
Oh, no way.
Not even a double wide, just a single wide. And nothing wrong with people who live in trailers, don't misunderstand me, but this is not who he portrays
himself
to be. And my husband says to me, well, maybe he's just visiting a sick relative or something. I said, yeah, but he said when he left, he was going home because his wife was making him something special for dinner. And my husband said, well, he said, I know how to find out. So we pulled down the road off to the side, and we had one of the first cell phones. You know, when Radio Shack, you needed a forklift to get it out.
Oh, those big giant ones.
Yeah, it was like $1,500. And he pulls it. He really went in the trunk, and he had to pull it out of the trunk, and he dialed up Carl. And Carl answered, and my husband said, hey, Carl, I left a business card from I don't know who, he said, in there in the file. Do you happen to see it? I didn't know if you had a chance to get home yet. And Carl said, yeah, I'm home. Let me go in and check. And a couple of seconds later, he came out and said, no, Hans, there's no business card in there. My husband said, no, that's okay. That's fine. Thank you. At that point, he knew something was not right. Obviously, you know, he's been lied to. And so the rest of the story goes, he told all the investors he did not have confidence anymore. He ended the investment and put him in another investment that worked out very well. Now, are you ready? Wait for it.
Oh,
okay.
No. So here's the big ending.
So now, about 5 years ago, my girls and I are at the grocery store. And, you know, you go into the checkout line, and the girls are always asking, can I have this gum? Can I have Tic Tacs? And I, you know, and I'm just like, no, 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 no. And I'm looking at the magazines, and I hit the National Enquirer. And on the front page of the National Enquirer, you don't believe me, go ahead and check it out. It says FBI's 10 Most Wanted List.
Oh, my gosh.
It was Carl Reberg's wife, and it was him. And they apparently had scammed investors out of $22 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the thing. She got 6 years. He got, I think, 4.5 years.
Wow.
Okay. Now, here's my question. $22 million. I got a stupid sand art tray for the wedding. Do you think you could have? I'm kidding. But seriously, I mean, it's apparently none of the money's ever been found, and I don't know what the state is of his situation now. But
that's a wild story.
And that was the music kept playing, and I just
the sting. Isn't that funny?
Isn't that funny? And so that's the way angels. It's different for each person. So what your experience is how it's going to relate to you.
Right. Because obviously this sting to you meant, you know.
I used to watch that with my dad. He loved this thing, and he loved the 8-track tape.
Well, right.
And he always used to play it in the car. I think he owned 2 8-track tapes. And if my dad's listening tonight, I love you, and I'm sorry I'm telling this story. But this thing, when we'd go for Sunday rides in the car, he'd stick in the thing.
I remember
I wanted
those
to shoot
giant
myself.
8-track tapes.
Well, can you imagine? I know.
Well, my dad used to listen to Dean Martin, so you were really much luckier.
I would have taken anything in the same song over and over and over. I mean, I can do the tune for you right now.
We can pass on that.
Okay, yeah, you know my singing. In any event, our angels will give us messages that we are meant to interpret. So for me now, if I look at somebody and I start hearing the tune, the sting, you better believe I know that they're going to try and con me out of my money. They're going to try and make my wallet lighter, so I'm going to stay away. And we learn this by paying attention to the signals that are sent to us, okay? I'll give you another example because I think sometimes I learn best by example. I know when I was learning math, when I was learning division in school, the teacher, you know, I think she wanted to hit me in the head with the eraser because I couldn't get it. I was in second grade. I'm like, I don't get it. And she's calling my mom saying, I tried everything I know. And then the third grade teacher came in, Mr. Young, and he said, you know, let me try. And he kept me after school that day, and the light bulb went off because he used a different method to teach me, and I finally got it, and it clicked. So I think everybody, you know, understands a different method of training, so to speak. So in this case, we have to learn what those signals are. And so now one day I'm talking to somebody on the phone, and as I'm doing a consultation, a reading for her, she says to me, I'm really upset, and it immediately came to me why, because I saw the Cheesecake Factory. Now you're thinking, how could I know from the Cheesecake Factory? However, when the impression, the picture of the Cheesecake Factory shot across my mind, I remembered immediately that I had been with a friend who had told me that she had been abused as a child, and frankly was still being abused by her mother, which was shocking, absolutely shocking. And I'll never forget that moment. And so as I was talking to her, I kept seeing the Cheesecake.
What does that have to do with the Cheesecake Factory?
Because we were there when she told me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when she told me about it, we were sitting in the Cheesecake Factory.
Okay.
So from that point forward, whenever the angels are trying to give me that message to let me know what's going on, in that particular type of situation, I get the Cheesecake Factory,
okay.
Which is kind of,
because that,
you know,
means that to you.
So again, we have to interpret. So that's one of the things we all have to work on, is learning how to interpret the signals that we're getting.
Right.
Okay. And there's a lot more. But you know what? I know we've got a live caller on the line, and I want to try and take her now. Let me see if I can find her here. I think we've got Tina on the line. Do we have Tina?
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, this is Jenny. I guess you know that. You just said my name. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, this is, I think I know you. You're one of my clients. I haven't talked to in a little while, right?
Yeah.
How
are
you?
I'm the doll. So I sent you a couple of emails, and I don't know if you got this because I know you've been busy since vacation. But anyway, do you remember the job, the person that I said was either going to retire or die?
Yes, I
remember
that. That job was meant for you.
Okay, he's retiring.
He is.
He is retiring.
And what have you done
now
to try
I'm
and secure?
Well, I'm debating what to do because now I'm kind of panicking because I'm thinking, I wonder what they want. So that's kind of where I'm at with.
Okay, first off, and if I may share just a little bit, if I may, Tina.
Yeah.
Tina is an absolute wonderful person and a wonderful soul. Tina does a lot of work for people who are disadvantaged, and when the budget ran out for the company that she was working for, she went on to do volunteer work at no pay to continue to help people who were having difficulty struggling financially. So you are such an incredibly good soul, and I admire you greatly. And Tina also she makes custom dolls that are the most beautiful dolls in the world. And she sent me one this Christmas. And it was a doll that was a two doll, if I may. It was an angel, and it could be converted into a gypsy and then back to an angel again. And I thought it was adorable, and I loved it. And everyone who sees it thinks it's just absolutely wonderful. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. What I will say is that that job was meant to be yours then, and I think we had talked about that it would come around again, remember?
Yeah.
Okay, now you're afraid, and I think one of the things is you're so afraid that it's kind of making you be almost paralyzed with fear. If you want this job so bad that you're almost afraid to move forward on it, aren't you?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Here's
the thing. Because I've really jumped through a lot of hoops to get to where I was with it, and I was just absolutely devastated when I didn't get it. And then I think what I feel like is that they didn't get what they got what they wanted. It's just what they wanted wasn't what they needed. So
they had to define their goals a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now it's like, okay, how do I get back in and show them that they should have hired me in the first place? Without saying that. But anyway.
You know what? You go in there with your head held up high, and you tell them how much that you really were disappointed that you hadn't gotten the job, and that you find yourself available, and that you would very much like to interview for the position again. You know the things that you were planning on doing going in there. I told you when you didn't get it that it was really your job to have, and I still feel that way. I think I truly feel that that's your job. It's meant for you. I believe I even told you that I thought it would come back around again and to keep your eyes open, did I not? This is your job to get. And if you allow fear to paralyze you and keep you from going in and taking back what's rightfully yours, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know that you were custom made for that job, correct?
No, that I just I'm it's like
I
so,
know.
Well, I have
let
a couple
me
of
ask
a,
you this.
Go ahead.
What do you have to lose, Tina? You don't have the job now. Okay. If you go in there and you end up not
yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Right? You've got nothing to lose. Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you. That's why I'm talking over you. I don't mean to. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
So
you're kind of breaking up.
Okay. The other thing is that I had applied for another position at a hospital. There's actually a social work position, and I had gone in, and I'd taken my mom in to apply for Medicaid with the hospital because of her hospital bills, and the social worker there told me that they had a social work position opening up. And I said, well, I don't have an MSW. And she said, we can't find MSWs. They're willing to accept other degrees that are related if you've got experience. And she told me, go get your interview closeout, because you get past that, then the HR person, then myself and the other, whoever it was in that department, we're the people who interview for it. So that's the other thing that I'm debating about. I mean, I've already applied for it, so I'm just waiting to hear something.
Waiting to hear. I'm going to tell you that, okay, first thing, we know that both positions are right for you. They both fit you. Let's face it, they both fit you. I still think that if you were able to get the job with the one that you had previously interviewed for and had lost it to the elderly gentleman, I think that would fulfill you on a lot of different levels, because it allows you not to be tied down to the office so much. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
And you've got that bubbly, wonderful personality that's so vivacious, and you're so outgoing. And I can tell tonight you're sounding a little bit down, but that's not normally how you sound when we talk, so I know this is you're having a rough night tonight. But I know who you are, and I know the energy that you have, and I think that either position is going to be good for you, but I think you will feel like you grabbed the brass ring if you get the position that you had previously. It's at the Better Business Bureau, right? Or the Chamber of Commerce? Wasn't it at the Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Talk about a good memory. That's. I think you should really consider. I don't want you not to apply out of fear, because you'll be sorry, because you'll feel like you got beaten by it twice. And you've got nowhere to go. You know what I'm saying? You can't make it worse because you don't have the job now. So if
that's
you go
true.
And apply, right? What could happen? You go, you apply, they say no, you still have the hospital thing, you know, as your plan B.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm just hoping that they realize now what it was that they really should have gone for. I think when they brought him in, they thought he would bring in all this money and to the chamber itself. And I think some of those people who originally made that decision are gone now. They're no longer on that board.
Right.
So that's probably to my advantage, because I think they had a different viewpoint of it. I don't think it turned out the way they thought it would with him.
Yeah,
the only thing that they said that they listed was that they wanted somebody who had business experience, who had, you know, ran a business, owned a business. That's why I got as far as I did the first time, because they knew that, and I only lived 5 miles from the town. He was like, I don't know, 25 miles away,
mm-hmm.
and just pretty much didn't have any connections in the community. And that really, I think that was really became very frustrating to everybody, because he just wanted to sit in the office and not connect with anybody. So,
which is totally opposite of what you would do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been there. Like, I had a business in this community, and I know I have a pretty good handle on what other businesses are feeling and what they're needing and wanting. And so, you know, we had a complete flip in our administration, new mayor, new city council members, everything. And the mayor had been there like 30 years in office, and he got voted out last night, which is pretty amazing. So
mm-hmm.
who knows what will happen.
Tina? You know what it sounds like to me? What you just said to me is exactly what you need to say when you go in and apply for that new job.
Yeah.
Listen,
so
you can do this. you can do this. You know you have the ability to do this job. And again, you've got nothing to lose. This time you have a plan B. You have an in at the hospital. And that's already in the process of being looked at. So you know what? Go back to the Chamber of Commerce. Reapply.
Okay.
Tell them what you just told me. And then call
me
and let me know how you make out, okay?
Well, part of my sweets before God was let somebody call me and ask me to apply for it. That's really what I wanted to do because they know me, so, I, you know.
Well, but let's also not forget that God helps those who help themselves. Right?
Okay. Well, I
and
know.
You, and you don't want to be beat twice by the same job, okay? So,
I know.
So you need to make the effort because if somebody else goes in there, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
They're going to mess it up again.
Well, and you know what? This time you're going to go in and you're going to say, this is what I would have done. This is what I think needs to be done. This is what wasn't being done. And this is how it needs to be done to be successful.
You think they
you go
be
in there and do that.
Okay. That's what I wonder because I want to say that, but yet I don't want to come on too strong or critical of the other person, but...
Well, you don't want to be critical of the other person. Remember, we never want to point out the negatives of another individual. We only want to point out what's positive. You know, if you're involved with a negative situation or a negative person, you don't go in and say, you know, you're this and you're that. And you want to say, you know what, this is no longer healthy for my environment, so I'm choosing it not to be in my environment, right?
Right.
Now, when you go in for this job, you're certainly not going to point out all the mistakes and how he sat in his chair and never did anything and was, you know, perhaps maybe lazy. Perhaps. I don't know. I don't want to judge. But you know what? You can go in there and say, you know what, I really think that the person in this position needs to be doing to make it be done successfully and to promote the chamber is X, Y, and Z. And they already know. Believe me, they know where the problems were. So, and you do, too. You do, too.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. I think this just wasn't his skill set. I think they thought it would be, but I don't think it was. And I think it's
I totally agree with you.
No.
So do me a favor, Tina. Go in there, and would you please call me and let me know how you make out?
I will. It'll probably, well, yeah. I'll
you just call me and let me know or email me. I want to know how you made out, okay?
Just one more thing. Do you ever hear from my son? Because I haven't heard from him lately. So,
actually, as I think you know, that your son is quite a busy young man, and he's doing a lot of the things that we had talked about tonight. Have you been listening to the whole show?
I didn't hear the first of it.
Okay. One of the things we talked about is our spirit guides, of which your son is most certainly one for you. Our spirit guides are kind of like in spiritual counselor and training. Which is why we don't always hear from them immediately after they cross over, because they need to learn how to help people on the earth still here while not changing their ability to have free will. And that's something that your son has worked on and is still working on. And, you know, we had talked about communicating with him last time, and he's doing very well, and he's very happy. And I'd like to say that he's here this second, but I'm not connecting with him this second. But we both know where he is and that he's doing well. And I also know that he's come to you on many occasions. And had you heard the first part of the show, you would have recognized a lot of the things that have happened to you. So when you get a chance, listen to the podcast because you'll hear a lot of the connections that you've already had with your son, which is such an incredible blessing for you, I know.
Have you read the book that just came out, The Heaven Is for Real, by Todd Verpo?
No, I have not. Is it good?
You need to get that book and read it. It's amazing and adorable all at the same time. It's about a little
real.
Boy. Yeah, it's a little about a little boy that has basically a near-death experience, and he goes to heaven, and he just starts telling his parents all these things that you know he couldn't possibly have known about his mother. He says he met his sister in heaven that his mother miscarried before he was born, and just different things like that. But there's a funny little line in this, and I laugh. That's why I said it's adorable too, because he talks about that that Mary is there also, and he says Mary stands next to Jesus, and there's a he, it's so cute. He says she still treats him like a mom. And I thought that was so adorable, you know. And I thought, what's a mom? Always a mom. It doesn't
always
matter whether
you're
the son of God or anything else, you're always the mom. So
that's right.
Heaven.
And you
mom.
Always will
care.
Be.
You're
yeah.
I'm always your mom. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You will always be his mom. And he'll be coming to you again, and you'll feel it, and you'll notice it for sure. So you're doing good. You're back on track. Things are going in the right direction. Shoot me an email. I'll give you a quick holler when you apply for that job, and let me know how it goes, okay?
Okay. I appreciate it.
It was wonderful talking to you again. God bless, and I will say a prayer for both you, your mom, and Kevin, okay?
Yeah. Right. And
God bless you, Tim.
And husband and cat, they're both sick and in the hospital, so.
Yeah, I know.
So, anyway.
I'll include
you, too. I don't
know
why everybody thinks that. Yeah, but anyway, cat's sick. That makes me upset. My poor kitty.
I'm not
going
to say a word about that. I know the cat being sick upsets you. I do realize that.
It does. You know, it does. Oh, okay. Thank you, Jenny.
You're
right,
welcome,
bye.
Tina. Talk to you soon, sweetie. God bless. Bye-bye. Tina's such a good soul. She went through a gut-wrenching experience herself.
Really?
Passed away, and such a dynamite lady, and always willing to help others and always extend
well,
her hand
awesome.
Out to others. And I know tonight, when she first started talking, you could hear she was kind of down.
Yeah.
But
sounds like she needs to try. And, you know, I know going for a job is uncomfortable and awkward, and it sounds like she needs to maybe just do it.
I think so. Go out there, do it, and move forward, because let's face it, like I said, they can always say no, but she doesn't have it
right.
now, so she's got nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
And it's a job she absolutely is custom made for, so many prayers to her, and I hope that she goes out there and gets it this time. And here is Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees, one of my favorites.
Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty, yes you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you, I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely, give this song another listen, close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 What you do to me. Hey there, Delilah. Times are getting hard, but just believe me, girl, someday I'll pay the bills with this guitar. We'll have it good. We'll have the life we knew we would. My word is good. Hey there, Delilah, I've got so much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you would take your breath away, I'd write it all. Even more in love with me, you'd fall, we'd have it all. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 1,000 miles seem pretty far, but they've got planes and trains and cars. I'd walk. I had no other way. Our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along, because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never ever be the same, and you're to blame. Hey there, Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. 2 more years and you'll be done with school, and I'll be making history like I do. You know it's all because of you.
Delilah by the Plain White Tees. I love that song. You're live with the Christian Psychic Cafe, and we have had a caller waiting for a long time, and God bless her. She's been trying for several weeks to get through, and I just have to make time for her tonight. I have to do it right now, and I hope I've got her live online. Do I have you online now? Is this Susan? Is it Susan?
Suzanne.
Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne. This is Dr. Ginny. How are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. I just had a question to ask.
Sure.
I had split up with my ex-husband a long time ago, and then I got residential custody finally when my son was five, and I had it. My ex kept pushing and pushing and pushing and making life horrible, and he got the residential custody January 2010. I really don't think he even wants him as part of my life. And now he's saying I should get supervised visitation. It's absurd. He's trying to get law guardians and counselors and everything involved, and it's not what it seems. We have to go to court April 25th for this, but he was going against the stipulation, not even letting me see him all the weekends I was supposed to. He feels like he can just get away with anything. Do you see this being resolved, and down the road, do you ever see me getting my residential custody back?
Okay. I'm going to say I do see you getting your residential custody back. I do see it taking quite some time. And I know that's going to be difficult for you. I also see that there's a financial aspect in here where you don't really have the money to fight it, and he does. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, so what I'm going to say to you is that for the most part, the most critical thing here is that your son knows that you love him. And my suggestion to you is you're only seeing him, what, once a week now?
Once a week. I'm supposed to have 2 full weekends and a split weekend, but
okay.
Then he's saying, oh, you know, mom, dad, split, and then he's saying supervised. It hasn't happened yet, but I don't think it will. What do you see with that? Because there's really no reason unless he just gets everything he wants.
Well, he's trying to get everything he wants. I think it's important that you follow the letter of the law of what the custody agreement currently that's in place states. So what you need to do is you need to make some careful notes every single time, a supervised visit, supervised or not, when it doesn't take place, when he doesn't make him available for you to spend time with him, that goes against the current custody agreement. That needs to be all
written
down.
I have done that.
Okay, so now the next time that you go to court, you're going to bring this up, okay? And you're going to continue fighting, and I'm not going to lie to you. I see that it's going to be a long, hard battle. I think, I could be wrong, did I talk to you about 2 or 3 weeks ago maybe for a little bit, and we were rushed off because it was at the end of the show?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah, because I kind of recognized the situation. This is the other thing I want to tell you. The most important thing, is that your son knows that you are thinking about him every single day. And what I would suggest you do, because this is not only for him, this is also for you, okay? You need to sit down and every day pour your feelings out to him of how much you miss him, how much you care, of all the things that you wish you could be doing with him and will be doing with him in the future. Don't make it angry. Don't make it negative. Don't make it nasty, okay? This isn't a letter to beat up, you know, the dad, because you know what? You're not going to allow that negative energy to surround you anymore. Every day that you're not with him, sit down and write to him. If you have to seal them all in a big envelope and then make copies of it, because you're at one point. But when you give it to him, and I'm not saying give it to him yet, but when you do give it to him, you're not so sure that your ex may not toss it, so you want to always make sure you have copies of what you've written, because you never want to give the last copy away when it's not in your hand, okay? Because those are going to be the most valuable thing in the world to your son as he grows up and starts to mature and understand how Daddy kept him away from you, okay? You're not going to lose this battle. It just means there's going to be a lot of time between you get exactly what you want as opposed to what you're currently getting. Okay, sweetie?
Now, when do you see that happening?
You mean as far as going back to court or...
Do you think I'll have to get supervised for no reason, or do you think I'll just get my weekends back like I'm supposed to, so we can be regular time with them?
Well, here's the problem. They can't say that you're going to have supervised visits unless there's a reason that's stated in the petition to the court. So as far as I can see, I believe that you are going to get your regular visits back with your son.
Taking it to court again.
Well, I know, and he has the money to do it, and you don't have the money to fight it, and that's the problem. But you need to calmly, like I said, very calmly, write down all your thoughts on this so that when you do go back to court, it can be presented to them in a way that it's by date and it's in order and everything's, you know, it's completely laid out for the judge to see. Because let me tell you something, when a judge sits up on that desk and sees how many cases he does in a day, it's hard to imagine that he doesn't get bleary-eyed. And you want it to be laid out in a way that he can see that your ex has not been following the rules set forth in the current custody agreement. That's the most important thing. And you also have, do you have a public defender? Or somebody from the court that's working? Yeah, okay. So you need to make sure you talk to them and that you're heard, because you don't want to fall through the cracks. They do have to...
I have to call them this week sometime. It's just busy. But when
you don't see the
how long?
You know what? I don't see you having full custody of him for several years, but I do see you getting partial custody of him within the next 8 months, but not full custody. I know we had talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and I believe
so
I
like
saw the same
years?
Thing then. I would say at least, yeah. I think
right,
maybe 2 to 3 years. Okay.
I'm going to school for dental assisting. Do you see me getting a job in it?
I know you're going to get a job in that, and I think we talked about that too. That's going to go well for you. You're going to get your life going again in a positive, forward-moving way, and that's what you need to do. You need to start moving forward. Don't let your entire identity be the woman who is struggling to regain, you know, custody of her son. You have a lot more things going on in your life, and you're going to make sure you fulfill all the different obligations you have to yourself, because you want to come out as a well-rounded individual so it looks good for the court to have your son come back and live with you. Okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I know, and you're working really hard on it, and I applaud you, because I know that in the end you're going to be successful, but I also know that the most important thing, again, I'm going to say it again, sit down and write to your son every single day so that when things do change and he gets a little bit older, whether that be 6 months from now or a year and a half from now, he'll have the chance to read, or maybe, you know, 3 years from now, he'll have the chance to read those letters and really know how much you truly loved him, because you took the time to sit down and write to him every single day. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'll try. It's just I'm working full-time and going to school, but I'll try.
You know what? It doesn't have to be a lot. You could just, you know what, go to the dollar store and buy yourself a journal. And then put every date, you know, today. You put today's date in 4-6. And then you sit down and you write what's in your heart. It doesn't have to be a lot. It's just the fact that every single day that he was not in your household, you thought of him and you wanted to just sit down and make a notation of it, so that he knows that he never left your heart. He never left your heart. He was always in your heart. That's critical, okay?
All right, I'll start to do
that
tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Oh, that was nice of her. I appreciate her waiting, because I know that she tried to get in a couple of times in the last 2 weeks.
And I understand. I mean, not having your child with you, that's got to be so tough.
Yeah, well, can you imagine? To me, no greater love than the bond between a parent
Absolutely.
And a child, and to have that broken can be very difficult. And we will say many prayers for you,
Suzanne,
and just hope and pray that you get your son back soon. But like I said, write those letters and let him know. Let him know how much you love him. Let him know how much you miss him.
I hope you'll never lose your sense of wonder. Get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leads you empty-handed. hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens.